Joining us now for the end of this hour is the BBC's Steve Evans, who's been live in Oslo, Norway, as court proceedings taking place in private with the confessed terrorist shooter and bomber in Oslo, responsible, believed to be responsible for those 93 deaths in Oslo. Steve Evans, good morning.
Good morning to you.
Also with us once again this morning, political science professor at the University of Tromsø in northern Norway is Marcus Buck. Marcus, thanks for coming back.
Thank you.
First of all, Steve Evans, what did we learn in the statements made by members of the court after this closed hearing for Anders Breivik?
We learned principally that he's defiant, that he's not pleading guilty. He sees it, and of course, this is a press conference given by the judges after the hearing, which was in private. They said that he saw his battle as a battle against what he calls cultural Marxism. But if you look at his manifesto on the web last Friday, which he posted before engaging on his horrific acts, he clearly sees himself as a descendant of the Crusaders who fought Islam 700 years ago. He wanted to appear in court in a uniform that he presumably designed himself with the Crusaders cross on it. And he wanted to have the chance to speak, to justify himself in public. The police had objected to that, and the judges ruled in their favour. So it was private. The other thing we learned is that he will be remanded in custody, no surprise there, for 8 weeks, four of them in isolation. I don't know, but I presume the other four will be under some sort of medical observation.
Steve Evans, live in Oslo, Norway, is the BBC, normally Berlin correspondent, but for obvious reasons, covering the developments in Oslo, Norway. As far as you can tell, Steve, is this kind of rhetoric in open court in Norway unprecedented?
I think it must be, because the act is unprecedented. I mean, it's pretty well unprecedented anywhere. You think of the Unabomber, I suppose, and you think of Timothy McVeigh in your own country, and then you think of the massacre in Port Arthur in Australia. And in a way, they're all, one imagines, similar characters. But what's odd about this guy, in a particular scale of oddness, is that, one, he was caught. The police confronted him and said, lay down your weapons, and he did that. Whereas the pattern, apparently, according to the forensic psychiatrists, is that they either turn the weapon on themselves or they put themselves in a situation where the police then kill them. This guy is defiant. He wants to get his message out there, and that is a particular psychology. Now, the other thing is that the British police are over here, and they're looking at links with people of a similar mind in Britain. They don't think they're accomplices. They think this guy acted by himself. But they do think that he moved in these circles of ultra-right groups in Britain maybe 8 years ago. And they want to contact those people just to find out who they are and what they're up to.
Interesting. And one other thing before we go, Steve Evans, the penalties for the kinds of crimes, as horrific as they are, that Anders Breivik is being charged with might seem a little tame here in the United States, where we have a death penalty, of course. Is it true that he only faces a maximum of 21 years in prison?
That's right, though I think there may be circumstances where a judge could rule that if he were a danger to the public, he would stay for longer. But yeah, I mean, even people here, and this is an ultra-liberal country, even some people here say 21 years doesn't seem right. I talked to somebody this morning who said maybe they should make it 92 times 21 for the number of people he's killed. In other words, give him 21 years for every person he's killed. But what there isn't here, it seems anyway, is any talk of the death penalty. But even liberal Norwegians think that 21 years is a bit on the low side.
Steve Evans, BBC correspondent, live in Oslo, Norway, covering the developments this morning. Let's put that question directly to our other guest, Marcus Buck, political science professor at the University of Tromsø in northern Norway. Marcus, as a Norwegian, as someone who's on the left of the spectrum, as I suspect you may be, but I don't want to characterize too much, any second thoughts about the death penalty?
Well, we know that if he's sentenced to only a jail sentence, then the penalty will be a maximum of 21 years. And I mean, death penalty is absolutely out of the question in any Norwegian context. But he could be held in custody for the rest of his life, because we have something they call a custody sentence, which means that he will be put away in a psychiatric ward under jail conditions and then being reassessed every 5 years as to see whether he is fit to be let loose on society. So some people are really judged to confinement for a much longer period.
So, Marcus Buck, what questions are Norwegians asking themselves? You earlier referred to some of the WikiLeaks cables that were part of the revelations that we reported on extensively in quite another context earlier this year that suggested that the U.S. government considered Oslo not a terribly secure city.
Absolutely. We saw that on the debate on the location of the new American embassy, because the U.S. thought that the embassy where it's placed in downtown Oslo wasn't in a safe area. They wanted to move it to the outskirts of the town and make a compound around it. And that aroused a huge debate where a lot of people were saying, we can't have this. We are an open society and we don't need that security. Now they are re-questioning some of that. And also we know that there were plans ahead for making it a bit more difficult to actually access the government building in town, but it wasn't seen as anything imminent.
Well, that's fascinating, because if what you say is true, and that there was an enormous debate, almost an outrage, that the U.S. would want to set up a fortress compound at its embassy, that debate has transformed 180 degrees.
Absolutely. Even though the political establishment is adamant on saying that we should still keep an open society and we will not see security measures as we see them around Downing Street and so on and so forth, but it's absolutely certain there will be more surveillance cameras and people will tolerate that if they stop just by those official buildings, they could be asked by any plainclothed officer to show the documentation and answer why they are there.
Finally, Marcus Buck, respond to what Steve Evans said a moment ago, the idea that forensic psychiatrists believe here is a lone wolf. What does it mean to have such a dangerous lone wolf in a society of 5 million people?
I mean, it's obviously extremely dangerous, and I'm quite certain that he will be confined for much longer periods, and it will be up to the psychiatric assessment any time. As you say also, there's a popular clamor for this, and since other people have been put away in that respect, I mean, and they have done much smaller crimes than this person.
Indeed, so there is precedent for what you say, and 21 years is probably off the table, if not in the courtroom, certainly in the minds of many, many Norwegians.
Absolutely.
All right, Marcus Buck joining us live there with a final take on the situation in Norway, which is developing at this hour. He's a political science professor at the University of Tromsø in northern Norway. And as we mentioned, Steve Evans was there live outside the courthouse in Oslo, where Anders Breivik has been arraigned formally on charges of terrorism. We'll keep you up to date on the latest news, including the latest developments in Norway. You could follow what we're watching by finding us on Twitter. Our handle, of course, at The Takeaway. I'm John Hockenberry. Celeste Headlee is out for the next few days. This is The Takeaway.
At Radiolab, we love nothing more than nerding out about science, neuroscience, chemistry.
But we do also like to get into other kinds of stories. Stories about policing or
politics,
country music,
hockey,
sex. Of bugs.
Regardless of whether we're looking at science or not science, we bring a rigorous curiosity to get you the answers.
And hopefully make you see the world anew.
Radiolab, adventures on the edge of what we think we know.
Wherever you get your podcasts.